Bart, you're getting pretty good at those, brother.
I don't know why, but the line after a workout, have some beers. Like, I don't know why I find it funny, but I just do.
No, because it actually is super funny. Yeah. Did you, I don't know if you saw it. Did you see Matt Damon's thing?
I didn't. I have contrarian opinions on it.
Well, you did or did not see it?
I did not see it. I don't want to see it.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have some issues with Matt Damon.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't want to get into it now. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Fascinating. I thought it to be, I thought it was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And SNL, okay. Okay, right? But this one was actually really good. At least that skit, that opening skit. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, okay. So, before we get to your story, real quick, I just remembered during the break what my ideal job was when I was coming out of law school and what I applied for.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, like, the greatest job in the world is editorial columnist. Because, and then it just popped into my head again, because what do I want to do? I want to share my opinions, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And at the time, I hadn't considered TV or mm-hmm. there was no online video, pretty much, mm-hmm. et cetera, right? So, and then I just thought about it, and I thought, my God, they get paid a lot of money to write two columns a week. I'm oversimplifying, but not by much.
Is that really all they do? I think that's a myth.
I don't think it's a myth.
I think it's a myth.
No, it's two columns a week.
I don't believe you, and I don't believe
Do you know how
them.
Easy that is? People are like, yeah, but you have to write really good columns. Whatever, dude. Okay. I remember when I used to blog at Huffington Post, I'd crank those suckers out, and they were, look, I'm keeping it real, they were almost always the most popular, and nobody knew me. So, like, I had strong columns.
Your columns always ended up on the front page of Huffington Post, always. So, I'm going to go ahead and support your claims, even though they're ridiculous.
Yeah, even though they're obnoxious, but
obnoxious. That's
obnoxious, but not ridiculous.
Yes.
So, oh God, the rest of the week, what do you do? What do you do? You just have the time of your life to get paid so much money. If you're like not the regular folks, not if you're at the Iowa whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, Michael Sure would fill in the blank. But if you're New York Times op-ed writer, ooh, I had a thought here. I'm gonna write a column. Okay, now you give me a lot of money, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Oh my God, world's greatest job.
Really? Do they really make hundreds of thousands of dollars doing that?
Of course.
But like, why? Why are they so special? Like, what's so special about
them? Whatever, they're mainstream people and they got picked by the New York Times.
Nothing in life makes sense and it's unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, New York Times, I mean, they think they're so like, ooh, cutting edge or whatever. Are you really gonna have any radicals, right? No, you're not going to, right? I mean, radical right is like, right? And radical left are just different opinions mm-hmm. and ones that are interesting. And I don't necessarily agree with them. But it'd be interesting if the New York Times ran them, right?
Mm.
Almost never. So, and they're not like the right wing where, oh, you gotta hate these people and crush these other people.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it's just about different ideas about how to run an economy, for example. Nope, untenable. So that's what I mean by pre-selected.
Mm-hmm.
So all those people, and some of them have earned it. Paul Krugman, sometimes I think he's wonderful, sometimes he drives me absolutely nuts, but he earned it. Either way, he earned it, right?
It's time to change the avatar picture for New York Times. It's time. Let's go.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but I agree with you on Krugman.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but most of the others are like, hey, there's a Republican who's not insane. Let's just give him a job.
Mm-hmm.
And the liberals are almost all Hillary voters. I say almost only because I'm not positive, but if you made me bet right now, I'd say, yeah, I would guess that every liberal writer at the New York Times, op-ed writer at the New York Times voted for Hillary Clinton. I'd be super surprised if they didn't. Wow, what a diversity of opinion. Okay, anyways, world's easiest job, random rant. Okay, Anna.
Okay. So this morning I did a segment on HLN. Let me give you some context. The conversation was about Brett Kavanaugh, but the specific angle was about how the thesis was that the real difficulty facing, the group of people who face the real difficulty in American society today are white males. That was the crux of the conversation. Mm-hmm. So you guys know me, you know where I stand on that, okay? To say that white males in America are being persecuted is ridiculous, okay? Especially when you consider pretty much every gauge of privilege in the country. And by the way, let me be clear about this. It's not to say that all white men in the country are living the high life, but when you look at CEOs, executives, the Supreme Court, whatever, Congress, our presidents, come on, guys, like, let's keep it real. To say that the people who are really suffering in America right now are white people, or white men specifically, is crazy. And so there were, this is what I really want to kind of rant about. So this isn't the first time it's happened. It happens almost every time I do a television appearance or a political panel, okay? 8 out of 10 times, I am severely outnumbered, okay? Today was another example of that. 2 Republican men, or at least conservative men, up against me. And one of them filibustered the shit out of that segment. And finally, I couldn't take it anymore. And I started talking, because if I didn't get any word, if I didn't interrupt him for a second, I wouldn't get a chance to say anything, right? And so I'm making my point. And by the way, this is after the fact. I'm making another point. And one of the guys starts interrupting me. And then I got feisty. And I was like, excuse me, I let you make your point. I'd really appreciate it if you let me make my point. Mm-hmm. And by the way, just started saying that, you know, Blasey Ford is lying, this and that, yada, yada, whatever. But the point is, why do they always need to put me up against multiple political opponents? Why? It happens at Politicon, at the Politicon panels. It happens on cable television. Every once in a while, it'll be a match with me and one person, but more often than not, it's multiple people. They obviously think they need multiple people to take me on. Yeah. But the interesting thing is, I never get credit for anything, right? I'm always the dumb one. I'm always stupid. I'm always, working for a propaganda company. Like, whatever bullshit criticisms they have. Do you guys know how much time I spend on this, on what I do, right? Do you guys think that I'm just like, oh my God, hair and makeup, and then I just come on the show and I talk out of my ass? I spend so much fucking time researching. I read all day, every day, 6 a.m. I wake up, all I do is read. Do I get things wrong time to time? Of course, right? I'm human, but I'll admit to that, I'll confess to that, but I'm not a bad actor. There's no ill intent ever, ever, but it doesn't matter, because I'm painted as some sort of fucking clown who doesn't know what she's talking about ever. But then behind the scenes, television producers and Politicon organizers think, oh shit, we need 2 people to take her on, or an entire fucking panel to take her on. So which one is it? Am I stupid? Or do I make good points and you need to, you know, put me up against multiple people? So there's that. There's another thing I'm gonna rant about in a second, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, so let me explain a couple of these things. First of all, I'm backing you up, Anna. Mm-hmm. When it comes to guys, there's not an assumption that all guys are think a certain way or act a certain way. The default is guys are human, and there's a range, right? Within progressives, conservatives, etc. Within women on TV, there is more putting folks into a bucket. So Tommy Lauren is an airhead who is a right winger outside the establishment. Well, Anna is also a young woman outside of the establishment on the left. So they're in the same bucket.
That's right, yeah.
But wait a minute, they're not remotely in the same bucket, right? Now, I don't know, would you put me and Tucker Carlson in the same bucket? My guess is Booker's probably would not, right? But there's an, it's like, okay, young woman, I'm filling the in the blank. And look, TV bookers, they go 100 miles an hour and they gotta fill all these shows, so I'm gonna give you that caveat, okay? But at the same time, they basically largely work in stereotypes, right? Mm-hmm. I need to fill in this blank and that blank.
Totally.
And so that's why you get the thing of the right wing guy being dismissive towards you, et cetera.
It's not just the right wing. I get it from the left too. I'm keeping it 100. I get it all the time. All the time.
Yeah.
Right? Like, people have made decisions about me based on no evidence. And again, Do I get things wrong time to time? Again, of course I do, no, and everyone does. Everyone makes mistakes.
No, no, but that's but that's what drives me crazy. The fact that you have to give that disclaimer. Do I get things all wrong a decent amount of times? Yes, but I don't have to give the disclaimer because I'm not challenged on that issue, right? And so that's why it's so frustrating. Once you put someone on the defensive, right or wrong, well, they're screwed, right?
Yeah.
And so you are put on the defensive because I think partly because you're a young woman, right? Mm-hmm. I am not put on the defensive. So that's an unfair disadvantage that you have.
And by the way,
I don't have to go around telling everybody, hey, I get things wrong every once in a while because nobody ever asked me. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. And another unfair disadvantage, and I'm sorry, look, I'm not known to talk about, you know, gender biases and sexism, but it exists. It exists in this industry, that's for sure. And it exists in the way certain audiences respond to you and react to you. But, you know, age is another thing. You can't win with your age as a woman, because if you're young and you want to do what I'm doing, you're not experienced enough, you're not knowledgeable enough, you're not wise enough to chime in on politics. Okay, so there's that. And then the second producers determine that you're older, then you're too old. You're too old for this show. No, we're looking for a younger host. You're too old. What the fuck? What the fuck? What's the right age? Tell me what the fucking right age is. So there's that. Okay.
Okay, but I do have to say, though, on that one, I mean, Jesus can attest to this, our longtime director, because I would complain about it all the time. And I remember for so long, Young Turks, you guys, too young. And then one day we woke up and they're like, you're too old. What the fuck? Wait, where was the sweet spot? How did we miss it?
There is no sweet spot. That's the point.
Right.
Okay, so that's actually everything that I just talked about right now, it's tangential to the main thing that's been bothering me.
Okay, can I just, but I want to address the thing that you said. Why are you on those stacked panels? For a number of reasons. Number one, television and mainstream media have internalized Republican talking points. So they think, well, they call us the liberal media, and no matter who the host is, it doesn't matter if they're a Republican or a Democrat or anything along those lines or where they are on the political spectrum, we will have one liberal and two Republicans because, well, I mean, there's the host. Mm-hmm. But wait a minute, the host isn't liberal, right? Or isn't necessarily liberal. And even if they are, they don't get involved in the debate, they just moderate, right? Mm-hmm. So, but they think, well, we're being fair. No, you're not. You just stack the panel in favor of the right wing, and you do it all the time. And then the other reason why you get stacked panels is because there's no progressives on television. Mm-hmm. So even if you're debating like at Politicon, the time that you had the 5-1, but they were all Hillary people.
There were multiple times, right?
Yeah, that's right.
There was the millennial panel from last year, and then there was the Bernie panel from the year before, where it was the Bernie panel, and I was the only Bernie supporter on that panel.
Because it's the vicious cycle of the mainstream media hates progressives, they don't put any of them on, and when they do, or when they need more Bernie people, they're like, well, there's no progressive stars. We don't know where they are. And I mean, you're actually considered in some circles one of the progressive stars. But then after us is the abyss, right? After you run out of Young Turks hosts, who are you gonna put on that's poor Bernie? No one. Why? Because you never put them on in the first place. I can name you dozens of progressives that are either run wonderful progressive organizations or are wonderful progressive candidates. But they never made it onto TV because they hate progressives and they have no respect for them at all. So that's why they think, well, I mean, okay, I got one person on a Bernie panel that's pro-Bernie. Mission accomplished. High five.
I mean, they make you feel like you're crazy. They make you feel like, oh, I'm the only one that thinks this way, and I must be crazy, right? And it's not the truth, and it's super insulting. But look, all of this comes to the biggest issue that I've been dealing with, and it's driving me nuts. So if one more person tells me that I need to stop being aggressive, there are gonna be problems, okay? So I don't know what it is, but over the last couple months, like, it's been a common thing, right? And today it happened again, and I want to give you the conversation. So on my personal Facebook page, I posted about my experience on HLN. And then I also added the point regarding, you know, the Ben Shapiro's, Dave Rubin's of the world. For all their talk about how much they want to debate big ideas, neither one of them agreed to debate me for Politicon. And that is, those are just two. Ask Candace Owens, no, disagreed. No, we're not, I'm not debating Anna. Tommy Lauren, not debating Anna. No one agreed to debate me. And we've been asking pretty much everyone we can because it's, I mean, honestly, it's fun. I like having those debates. And I really did enjoy debating Ann Coulter. Okay, so someone responded to me and said, do you think Ben Shapiro's afraid to debate you? And I was like, are you suggesting that that would never be the case? And then I followed that up by saying, I don't know what his deal is, right? And then he said this, maybe he knows you get personal or aggressive sometimes when you're heated and he doesn't want to get in the mud with you. Are you fucking kidding me? He debated Cenk last year and essentially called him a hooker for taking investment money. That's not a personal attack. That's not aggressive. By the way, the same guy proceeded to call Ben Shapiro an incredible debater and genius, even though he disagrees with him on his politics. Listen, any schmo off the street can speak quickly and fool the average American into thinking that they know what they're talking about. But I guarantee you, if you listen to the actual substance of the debates and you actually fact check what he says, he is not a genius. He certainly misleads. And if you want to argue he's a good debater, fine, I get you. Part of debating, I guess, is tricking people into believing you're right. But no, don't tell me that I'm too aggressive. First of all, I am aggressive, just like the men are. Okay? And if it makes you uncomfortable, ask yourself why you have that double standard to begin with.
Okay. So I thought you were going to go in the other direction. I was amused in the other direction, meaning like, he wouldn't want to debate you because you're overly aggressive and he doesn't want to get in the mud with you. What am I, chopped liver? Right? What, like, I'm not aggressive? Like, oh, Ben will debate Cenk because he's not that aggressive? That's preposterous. No one in their right mind would ever think that. Not the left wing, not the right wing, not the middle. Nobody would think that. Mm-hmm. But why? There's a different standard. So for a guy to be overly aggressive, he's got to go nuclear and all the time, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I mean, who would think that you're more aggressive than I am, right?
I mean,
you're plenty aggressive, mm-hmm. But has anybody ever seen me on air, right?
Yeah.
And so, but why do they think that? Because it's a totally different scale. Mm-hmm. Because for guys, you're allowed to do whatever you want unless you're going like nuclear nonstop, right? For women, if you're not constantly graceful and classy
yes.
and demure, et cetera, then whoa, a little over aggressive here. Bring it down. Okay.
So I challenged him on these assumptions. And then he responded by saying something along the lines of, well, you know, you're known to make fun of a man's penis size while you're debating him. And you also make fun of their weight while you're debating them. And I was like, wait, hold on. I have never once ridiculed a man's penis size in the middle of a political debate. So I don't know where he read that, but it reminded me that, you know, when you do this as a living, you don't get to decide what your reputation is. Other people get to decide for you, and they spread all sorts of misinformation and ridiculous stuff about you. And people just believe it. They just believe it. Show me where on the record have I ever, in the middle of a debate, ridiculed a man's penis size? Like when? Or even not in a debate. Like I just my mind doesn't go there. I don't think about dicks while I'm thinking about politics. Sorry.
And that's because projection. And they're not
ridiculous.
Projection, but in this case, they're insecure. Like Lindsey Graham, why was he so upset? Because he was worried about himself, right? Why is that guy so particularly upset? Because like you don't want to get in a room with Anna. What if she makes fun of your dick size?
I mean, it's amazing.
I would have never thought of that in a million years.
Don't flatter yourself. Never thought about your dick ever.
Okay.
Second thing.
But it's on top of their mind because they're worried about it.
Second thing, like I make fun of their weight in the middle of a debate. I made fun of one person's weight and I've addressed that a billion times. And that was in the middle of him sabotaging the live show that me and our producers worked really, really hard to put together during the RNC. Did I call Alex Jones a fat fuck? Absolutely. Do I regret it? Absolutely not. Was that commentary about his weight?
In the middle of a debate? We were having a debate? Is that what we were doing there? I don't think we were having a debate.
So look, I get it. I'm certainly aggressive. But to say that I immediately like resort to personal attacks in the middle of a debate, I mean, Ann Coulter called me an old Soviet woman twice during my debate with her.
An old story.
I didn't respond to that once. I was like, all right, let's move on. We're, you know, but it doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter. If people have an agenda against you, they'll put out that propaganda and then other people will consume it and believe it hook, line, and sinker.
So I'll tell you, I recently talked to two progressives. So Ben Shapiro might wind up one day debating you because he's gonna run out of progressives. And I'll tell you why. Not because like, oh, I know, I just had private conversations with these guys. It's not, nobody's thinking like, ooh, Ben Shapiro, he's so smart, we can't beat him in a debate. These two guys are super confident, right? Mm-hmm. No, they're like, it's a pointless thing. Here's what they're gonna do. I guarantee you, no matter who the debate is with, no matter what was said, they will take a 7-second snippet or a 23-second snippet and take it totally out of context and then say for the rest of time, they destroyed you, they ate your balls, you know, you eviscerated, blah, 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 blah. They're like, fill in the blank. We've seen it 100 times. He's a totally dishonest actor in that sense.
No, you know what?
Right?
You know what you didn't have that Ben Shapiro had in that debate? He had a game plan after the debate. Right?
That's right.
You didn't have this perfectly like well-oiled machine of falsehoods and propaganda. He did, okay? Yeah. Immediately after that debate, again, those portions out of context, the clickbaity title, Shapiro destroys Cenk. It was a well-oiled machine. And guess what? It works. It's all marketing and it's so sad and pathetic.
I know, but that's because like So we have a TRT army, right? So what do we do with the army? We ask you guys to correct the mainstream media, to correct falsehoods, etc. I guess we could have fun and do it, but it feels weird to come to you guys and go, hey, can you say that whoever I debated, I destroyed? Just keep saying it over and over again in the social media. Feels weird and cheesy and clearly like dishonest. You're trying like without actually making good points. It doesn't matter, fill in the fucking blank. By the way, this isn't about me. This is what he does every single time, every time he's on TV, anytime there's a debate, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And those two guys, one of them knew about my debate, the other one didn't even know about my debate. He's just like, that's Shapiro 101. Mm-hmm. So all you're doing is creating fodder for shit on social media because you happen to be in the same room as him, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know, who knows? Whether he's actually going to run out of progressives to debate.
You guys, he argued that money doesn't influence politics.
It's mental, right?
He won the debate based on the merits of his argument? Like, he won the debate?
Nobody thinks
like,
that.
Like, anybody can talk really fast and pretend like they know everything. And I don't, like, anyone can do that. Anyone can do that.
Okay? No, but I hate this conversation because it puts you on the defensive. And then it seems like you got to respond to all of the memes about this and that, right? Anyway, so I'm done with it. I'm just telling you that people, like, they think they're really clever, but a lot of people know exactly what game is being played.
Do they? Because it feels like they don't.
No. But again, Anna, he has a concerted effort, and these knuckleheads are like, and it's not just about Ben, right? Because we're doing a video about progressive values, Brett sent me a couple of videos from like Prager University and another one about what do regressives think or whatever, right? And I was watching them. I'm like, it's the same fucking exhausting playbook. But their main thing is just repeat it over and over.
And
just,
it works. Yeah.
And it's the old Bush quote. My job is to catapult the propaganda. It's just repeat things over and over again, right? And that's what it is. And so they say, oh, progressives want to control your lives. Who the fuck wants to control your life? What do I give a shit about Ben Shapiro's life?
Yeah.
Just get the fuck out of mind, right? And progressives are against free speech. Wait, you're the one yelling at Kaepernick. What the fuck, right? Mm-hmm. And I can go on and on and on, and we do on the show. But what you see is it's frustrating because you go on social media and they have their troglodytes constantly saying the same thing over and over again so that it gives a false appearance of a majority when they're a tiny, squeaky minority, right? Yeah. And that's what's so frustrating, I get it.
But, yeah, yeah.
And by the way, one last thing, sorry, I keep talking too much, but I'm sorry if I'm being overly aggressive. Okay. Anyways, and they have so much money.
Yeah, that's
so,
the thing.
So it's easy to catapult the propaganda when you have Daddy Warbucks giving you 40,000 a speech or 30,000 a month to do your propaganda, and then they give your army money and et cetera, et cetera. So that's how they do propaganda.
And the thing that sucks is, like, I'm not interested in playing that game, right? So if we had the same resources, I have no interest in trying to further my political agenda and mislead the people who have spent their time and their resources listening to me and trusting me, right? I want to give them the facts. And I just want to get back to a place where we're having conversations and debates as honest actors, as opposed to literally paid shills who spew nonsense propaganda to purposely mislead people, right? Because for the few principled conservatives out there who want to have a discussion about policy, a real discussion, I respect you and I thank you. But unfortunately, there is a very small amount of people that fall under that category. Rich Lowry is one of the few from National Review. You know, I'll be on left, right, and center with him time to time. We'll debate. He's an honest actor, and I appreciate it. We disagree, but at least he's an honest actor.
I'm on a mission to find honest conservatives. So I'm not positive he's really that conservative, but Steve Hilton from Fox News was on here last Friday after the power panel. So you check that interview out on TYT Interviews. You guys are members. You can just, you know, get it whenever you want, obviously. And Steve was a super honest guy, holds Republicans accountable for their corruption, et cetera, looks at Brexit from a conservative perspective, et cetera, but a super honest guy. John Ziegler at Mediaite, I don't agree with him on a lot of things, including Kavanaugh, where he supports Kavanaugh on a lot of things. He's really conservative, supported Sarah Palin a lot. Honest actor. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can actually have a real conversation with them. I would love to do debate shows. The problem is we can't. We found three honest conservatives in the country, right? Everybody else is in the propaganda business.
Yeah, so let me, before I forget, mention one other thing. So there's a YouTuber, I don't know too much about her. I believe that she is a Trump supporter, so she is not on our side at all. However, her name's Blair White. She recently did a video on YouTube because she went from doing political content to doing something completely different. And so a lot of her viewers were like, what's going on? We were tuning in for political content. Why are you doing this now? And so her response video to it was that she went on a conservative show. This is a YouTuber. I suspect it's Dave Rubin, but I'm not entirely sure. Anyway, she went on to do an interview, and this person that she's talking about said, oh no, I don't believe anything I'm saying. Like, this is all, it's an act. I make money doing this.
Yeah.
So she did a video, it's on YouTube, you should check it out. And I commend her for that. Even if we disagree on politics, I really commend her for speaking out about this because it's a huge issue. If people are talking about politics, debating politics from their genuine viewpoints, that's fine. But when people are getting paid to spread propaganda, unacceptable.
And the alt-right brags about how they lie and smear people and it's effective, ha ha, hee hee. What are you gonna do, have an honest debate about with those guys?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's mental. So anyways, last thing though, is that I was talking to Kyle Kulinski the other day, and it turns out you're on the same panel with him on one of the panels.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, I don't care if they put 20 conservatives against you guys. Anna and the Kyle driver, good night, Irene. Okay, so. Now, wouldn't that be amazing? I mean, think about that for a second. Has CNN ever had two Bernie supporters on the same panel?
No,
ever?
No, there's
ever.
No
way. Okay, let alone MSNBC, which is hopeless, right? I don't know if MSNBC is a single person that ever voted for Bernie Sanders. Literally, I don't know. Because at least CNN could say Van Jones probably voted for Bernie. And maybe Sally Cohn, right? I don't know if they've ever been on a panel together, and I'm not positive that they voted for Bernie, right?
Right.
But MSNBC has none. Obviously, Fox News has none. So it's, I mean, look, we obviously have mixed feelings about Politico, but we're going, and I'm going to do Tucker Carlson, and she's going to be on panels, et cetera. But the one that might be worth watching is you and Kyle eviscerate whoever the fuck else is on that panel.
So the
okay, that would actually be a destruction.
I got to go back and check who's on my panels, but I know I'm doing two. One of them is on universal healthcare, and the other one is on socialism.
I'm telling you, man, it doesn't matter what it is. whoever's up against you guys, if they're conservative or establishment, they're gonna run into a buzzsaw they did not expect. Because the one, they always underestimate you, and two, they don't know anything about Kyle. Wait till they get a load of Kyle. So I'm like jonesing to watch just that, let alone everything else. All right, guys, we'll see you tomorrow.